Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Oh, yes, it will. And hello to all of you listening in, no matter where you are at. You are tuned into Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night. It is September 6th. We are now into the month of September. September kind of seems almost like a short month, except that we've got, what, 3 more weeks after tonight of September's. I can tell you that someone that I know was at the store this week, and they did see Christmas things already in the aisles. And with that,
I'm going to hang up now.
Bring in my wonderful friend Mary. How are you?
No, you're not allowed to say that. That's gross. Get it.
I know.
I'm good. Other than that, other than fire, flames on the side of my face, I just can't.
we weren't even out of the month of August good, and we already
we
got
were
Christmas
in July stuff. We were in July when they were having the Halloween decorations. It's like, why are you doing the decorations like 17 months early? Mm-hmm. Leave them on the shelf. Make them their own dedicated areas then. I'm done.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's what's happening. You know, I wonder if other places have the same thing going besides here in the U.S. I'm kind of almost curious to know. Surely we're the only ones that feel the need to speed up the holiday season because of sales. And I'm not sure if people are doing that because of, quote, lagging sales and people really not buying as much as they are, but it's kind of like, I know you want to get us in a holiday mood, but I don't need to think about Valentine's Day in late September.
Right, exactly. No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just trying to make it to September 7th. That's all I'm trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to make it to tomorrow. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, I will tell you, tonight, we have a lot of stuff to discuss. I know I left some stuff with you last week. Hopefully I can get around to that. I have quite a few things coming up on the most interesting things I read this week. We've got some stories to talk about, Retro Moment of the Week. We'll talk about what's trending. And then tonight I will definitely give a little bit more time, and we might even get an hour of After Dark if I can get all this original stuff in. So no matter what's left.
So yes, no, I don't agree. Yes, no. Can we get to the After Dark now?
You know what? At this rate, I think because coming up in a few weeks, I know after, I think it is, after October 3rd, the schedule for this show gets a little wonky. Actually, I think it's October 4th. You are here for October 4th.
Yeah. That first Friday in October, yes.
After that, the show gets a little wonky because for those next few weeks, we kind of won't be with you. I may have something to fill that time. End of October, probably will not be with you. And then that first week in November, we should be back. So stay tuned to wherever we're at. We will keep you up to date. But I do know no show on October 25th, 11th and 18th to be determined. 4th, we're with you. who knows? The 4th, we'll probably make that your birthday show, and we will probably do a full night of probably After Dark. Who knows? So.
We have way too much fun on my birthday shows.
we'll make it fun. So all of that ahead tonight. I hope we're able to get through everything. If we're not able to, we can always push it off to the next week. So with that, I'll get real. Oh, and the Almanac coming up in a few minutes too. I don't think I mentioned that. This summer, I know we're headed into the fall, but people still do wear this particular accessory. But you may have been pretty much kind of acting rude all summer, and you might not have even realized it. Etiquette experts say that the way that you wear your sunglasses can subtly pretty much communicate a sense of aloofness or disinterest to the people around you. According to Micah Meyer, who is the founder, they say that even though you might not mean it in that way, covering your eyes can feel like you're creating a barrier. It can give the impression that you're hiding something or are not fully engaged in the conversation. This is especially true when meeting someone for the first time or interacting with strangers. Meyer suggests always removing sunglasses when you're introducing yourself to someone or if you're having a direct one-on-one conversation, be it when you run into someone out in public, when you're buying something, or while making conversation at an outdoor event. Diane Gottsman, who is the founder of the Protocol School of Texas, didn't even know that exists, she agreed. She says that anytime you're meeting someone in public, such as inside a home, a retail store, an office building, or a restaurant, you should give the person across from you your undivided attention and respect by taking your shades off. There are a few exceptions, according to Meyer. If it's a casual event, like a beach day or a sports game, keeping your sunglasses on may be okay. When you're walking side by side with someone, it's also probably okay to slip the shades back on. But anytime you're having an extended face-to-face conversation, it's more polite to remove them. When you do take them off, now that you know that it's polite, Meyer has one more tip. Try not to place your sunglasses on your head during conversations. It can feel a bit too casual. Instead, store them away when not in use. She says, I always say when glasses are on your face, they go in your case. There is some truth to that.
For indoors, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're going inside, take your glasses off. If you have nowhere to store them, okay, they're on your – like if you're shopping, if you're in like Kohl's, Target, I don't care if you have them on your head. If you are going into a store with a person for a purpose, buying a specific outfit, going to buy something like putting in an order that takes time, like you have to place it ahead of time, take them off, put them in your purse, put them in your pocket, whatever. I don't have the problem with the sunglasses on my face when I'm outside, but I know of others, and I know a lot of people that have the lighter colored eyes that can't see outside when they don't have their sunglasses on. It actually hurts them. So if you're going to talk outside and you have to take your sunglasses off, you need to find shade. I don't think you should have to take them off. If you're outside in the sun and there's nothing like, hey, how's it going? Why? Really?
And I will forgive all of you if you were singing sunglasses at night in your head.
I know that hum did mine.
Yes. All is forgiven if that did occur. so, yes. But now, also, I heard this story, and there's definitely more ways of getting iron in your diet. Doctors in India were taken aback after removing keys, nail clippers, and even a knife from the stomach of a young man reported to be in his early 20s. Graphic footage of the team extracting a tool chest worth of implements is going viral. The gut-wrenching issue came to light after the unnamed patient's mother noticed that she was missing the keys to her wardrobe closet, according to the viral press. when she asked her son where they were, the key holder said he had swallowed them. a statement she initially took as a joke. However, unbeknownst to her at the time, the man had indeed ingested the door opener. She realized he wasn't lying after transporting him to the hospital in Motihari, Bihar, where an ultrasound revealed that he had ingested said keys along with other objects, pretty much. And during the ensuing operation, the presiding surgeon, Dr. Kubar, and his team also extracted nail cutters and a folding knife. Despite the delicate nature of the operation, the patient is reportedly recovering well. His mother has blamed the bizarre stunt on her son's addiction to social media and the internet, claiming that his mental health was affected by the inordinate amount of time he spent in front of a screen. Dr. Kumar seconded her theory, claiming that the boy's actions were indeed influenced by his excessive smartphone usage. Now, the man's official diagnosis remains a mystery. However, his actions could possibly be indicative of pica, which is a mental health condition where the sufferer compulsively swallows items that aren't food. That affliction predominantly affects young children, pregnant women, and people with psychiatric disorders such as autism spectrum disorder, intellectual disabilities, and even schizophrenia. That's insane. He's lucky to be okay.
Uh-huh.
So, yes. So, he's doing a lot better. And then also, this one I kind of felt was more a should I even do this? I have it, but I feel like this is like one of those stories that could go a little long. But you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to save it for another time. I'm going to save that story.
It's like, I know this is going to go long and I want a longer After Dark.
No. I know. So, no, I'm going to save it, and I will not use it. I hate when I tease people like that, but then, yes, that's how it goes. But headed to the almanac for this evening. I will tell you what today being September 6th, I hate when I have two computers sitting up here and I like always go to like the wrong mouse that I need. But anyway, September 6th, it is the first Friday in September. So it's National Chianti Day, National Food Bank Day. It's National Lazy Moms Day. So I hope that you were able to be lazy today.
I was.
National
100%, but now I'm texting Kiddo because Kiddo was making fun of me.
It's National Read a Book Day, National Coffee Ice Cream Day. Tomorrow, it is National Hummingbird Day, National New Hampshire Day. It's National Grateful Patient. Also, it is National Tailgating Day. I will tell you, the NFL season started last night. Kansas City versus Baltimore, which was a great game. They showed on TV the tailgaters got to the stadium at 11:30 in the morning.
Wow. You do have to get there early, though. You got to get a good spot. You got to get set up. That takes time.
7 hours before the game?
Well, I mean, if you're barbecuing and you're eating, you want a good sit down. Right?
7 hours before the game?
Not that far out of the
I guess, man. Have at it. Tomorrow is also National Beer Lovers Day. It is National Acorn Squash Day. National Grandma Moses Day. National Neither Snow Nor Rain Day. And it's also National Beer Lovers Day.
I'm not a beer lover. Oh. I've never been a beer lover.
Salami lover?
Maybe. Are we talking Genoa or kind of salty or is it hard salami? What are we talking?
I'm going to say hard salami.
I love it.
What is the difference between a Genoa and a hard salami?
One's a little bit more salty. And it's made differently. They're made differently. Like the sausages are made differently. So one tends to be a little bit more salty. Yeah, I know, right? That's why I'm not That's why I'm not against trying new sausages. You never know which one's going to become your favorite. Not really. No, it's just the way that they're made. There's a different ingredient count, and then the seasonings, and that's the difference. So one tends to, like I said, tends to be more salty, and it's like aged a little bit differently. I don't know.
We're gonna start.
I don't make sausages. Sausages up in the Chicagoland area, there's a sausage guy.
Sausage. Yes.
There's a sausage guy on the YouTubes.
There's a sausage king of Chicago as well. But Abe Proman, he's a very good guy.
Sausage Man, is that it?
I don't know.
I will find the sausage guy on the YouTubes.
All right. On the interwebs. On the YouTube. Mm-hmm. September 8th, Sunday, it is Star Trek Day. Not to be confused with May the 4th. God, I hope you don't do that, because you're going to reach the ire of two different brands of nerds, I mean fans, of each group. And then also on that day, it is World Ampersand Day.
Love me an ampersand. Can you draw the ampersand and make it look like an ampersand, or do you do the E with a line through it? When you actually write. I know people don't write anymore.
I used to do the E, and then I started to draw it. It looked like real wonky, and I was like, it was bad. Second Sunday of September is also National Pet Memorial Day. National Pediatric Hematology Oncology Nurses Day is September 8th. The second Sunday of September is National Hug Your Hound Day. So if you have one or don't have one, find a hug or a hound to hug.
Okay.
Sunday after Labor Day is National Grandparents Day. And then it is National Wiener Schnitzel Day. September 9th, it is Share Your Care Day. I have a feeling that has to do a little bit with Care Bears, too. Monday is also National Boss Employee Exchange Day. I can hear a question coming.
Yeah, the question mark is on my face.
So
does that mean I get to take over? Because I've already taken over.
Actually, it offers an opportunity to see how the other half of a business works. While bosses and employees often have brainstorming sessions, exchanging positions provides insight into the business. So, yes, it is changing places. September 9th is also National Teddy Bear Day. It is then on Tuesday.
I still have mine.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yep. One of the hands is permanently crooked from where I drag it around. So there's a L shape. And, yeah, a hole in the neck that I'm afraid it needs to be washed.
Might want to sew that up before you wash it.
Well, yeah, I'll do that. But it's just like there's a lot of miles on that thing.
And then September 10th, it is National Ants on a Log.
Raisins on peanut butter on celery.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. September 10th is also National TV Dinner Day. It's National Swap Ideas Day. It is National Hot Cross Bun Day. Not Hot Cross Buns, but Hot Cross Bun.
The song.
Day. Nope. No, not the song. The food.
The food.
Yes.
Give me the song and a recorder.
Wednesday is also National Make Your Bed Day. And then National Day of Encouragement. And, of course, Wednesday, September 11th marks 23 years as Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance. Holy cow, where's the time go?
Yep. Yep. I'm going to circle back to that make your bed day. You have to have a day to make your bed? People don't make their beds every day?
No, some people don't.
such a weirdo, apparently, then.
And that would bother my mom to no end.
You always want to start your day off right. Make the bed.
Well, who says that starts your day off right? I thought breakfast was the starter of the day.
No, breakfast just ends. That's just your stomach.
I don't know. Some people do, some people don't. Some people halfway do it. Some people just, if they like the comfiness of it, they leave it as is and come back around to it. I don't know. Then comes the question, too. How often does one wash their bed sheets?
I think it's supposed to be every other week.
Something like that.
And
I think there was a study about that a while ago, about how often people wash their bed sheets or their pillowcases. And it was very, very interesting.
I do mine once a month.
Yeah.
I know I'm dirty, but nobody else sleeps in my bed but me at this moment. So if there was another, like, body grossness in there that I would have to worry about, like, mixing with, no offense to the other body, but we all are gross, I would probably up doing it more than once a month. But, yeah, I do it once a month. And if I'm washing my, like, when I take off, strip my sheets.
Mm-hmm.
When I strip my sheets from the bed, this is not getting any better. Shut up. I also wash the pillowcases. So I have, like one set of sheets comes off the bed. The next one goes on before I even put the old set that's going to get washed in the washing machine. So I have rotating. I also can fold the fitted sheet. I am a wizard.
Ah, look at you. Skills, man.
Nobody can really, like, every time I say that, people are like, what? I'm like, That's my party trick. Bring a folded, get a fitted sheet. I will fold it and make it look nice. It'll look like a folded sheet. It won't look like something you threw in the back of your closet.
Look at you. What more skill to add?
I am highly sought after.
I can be a fitted sheet.
That goes on my dating profile. I can fold.
I can fold. did you see that interview Perry did the other day about what she wanted Orlando Bloom to do? She pretty much had said during a podcast that if she ever came downstairs and he had washed dishes and it cleaned and put everything away, she said that she would give him, it almost sounds like an After Dark thing. She said she would give him such a blowjob it would rock his world.
Wow. You know what, a lot of women would probably do that as well.
You are all liars.
I don't know about rocking your world, but I sure would try.
She was like, if everything was done, I would do. She's like, I don't need a Ferrari. I can buy my own. But she was like, just somebody do the dishes and clean up. So, yes, that is what she said. So I will be at Katy Perry's house cleaning up next week. I don't know where Orlando Bloom will be.
Orlando, if you have an issue, you know where to find me.
I'm going to Katie's to clean. National Hug and High Five Day is on September 12th. I think we have done plenty of stories around here of people who do not like hugs. Know why. But I understand. But some people do not. Some people don't even like high fives. So, I don't know. You all are shut in as kids, I guess. September 12th is also National Just One Human Family Day.
Didn't have an auntie.
The second Thursday in September is National School Picture Day.
I hated school pictures.
Why?
Because, we're going to go back to the title of my memoirs. Whenever I get to writing them, I was brown in an all-white town. I know. I still love that title. I've claimed it. It's mine. I've said it. If something comes out with that on it, I'm going to sue.
In the world.
It's on the air. We have proof. Anyway, no. To get back on point.
White title.
To get on point, though. Like, you know, from kindergarten up until, like, what? Sixth grade, maybe? Fifth, sixth grade? Mom did my hair and picked out my outfits. Like, the outfits stopped before sixth grade, but the hair, oh, God, the hair. No. And then it got to be that awkward phase when I had glasses and braces and didn't know how to do makeup and wasn't allowed to wear makeup, really. And then all the other things. And my hair. And then high school. I think I liked two of the years outside my senior year. I liked my senior year photos. But that's because I got to pick them out. I got to take them.
Yes, of course.
Look at them first. So those ones I was fine with. But, yeah, the other ones I was just like, what? Like one year I parted my hair on a different side and it looked like I had a fro and it was not cool. I'm going to tell everybody right now, I do not look good in a fro. It was permed and gross. It was, yeah. So there's, I never liked, did you like pictures, school pictures?
Here's the thing. I like to dress, no. I like to dress up. And the thing is that I thought it was cool the one day of the year where you got a chance to dress up. Nobody questioned it. The only thing I hated growing up with school pictures was that in our class, and I look back now at how dangerous it probably was, you know, we had those old school grammar school photos where, you know, some people were in the first row, then you had a second row, and then you had a third row, and the tall people were always in the back row. And
mm-hmm.
So
I was always in the front because I was not that tall person ever.
Right. And so I never sat down. It was always, like, in the back row. But they had us standing on top of, like, these chairs or tables. And I looked back now, and I was like, man, that was not safe. So,
see, I didn't have to deal with the not safe part. I was on the floor.
Right.
I was probably usually the one holding the stinking sign for the class.
Right. You're the unofficial sign holder. But, yeah, it was
you're
what
small,
happened.
You get to be here.
Well, think about it. 20 or 30 kids in the classroom, you had to get everybody on cue to pretty much kind of like smile at camera. And sometimes those photos, no, it never happens. And sometimes those photos took a little while longer. And then you're standing up there like, dude, I can't stand on this table this much longer. You know, my balance is like bad. And so, yeah, you know, in grammar school, that's how it was. But later on, I didn't really. Because my brother and I usually wore the same thing. And right up until about, I think, maybe high school, senior year photos. Well, even like, I think, 6th, 7th grade. I think we kind of did different. But it was usually the same thing, if not slightly different. Like, he would wear a green striped shirt, and I would have a blue striped shirt. You know, something like that. But, no, I didn't matter with me either way. You know, I haven't seen those photos in forever, and they're somewhere in a bin, but I do remember them, and yeah, so.
I remember my kindergarten photo. They used to take the, like, I don't know if they did it for you, and I know they don't necessarily do it anymore, but they used to do the side profile.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like,
we
three quarters.
Yeah.
And then, like, you were, like, in a, like, they did that, like, around you kind of thing, and then your actual photo. So there was, like, the photo, and then, like, just your face looking off to the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. They did that for my kindergarten one, and that was the year that my mom decided that I needed to look like somebody in the Navy. So I was wearing a blue suit.
In the Navy.
Oh, it was so bad. You know what? I kind of hope that they kept it just so that I could be like, look at how embarrassing this was.
Nice. Oh, school photos. What a memory, though. And it's the second Thursday in September. But the one thing I'm pretty sure our parents are very happy about is that they no longer have to pay the exorbitant prices for photos.
Right.
Like, I could have took those with my camera. Yeah, you know.
Right.
Pretty much how it went. Then they'd be like, can we just get the proof and, like, put it in
the frame?
Yeah,
we'll put it in the frame.
Or if they did buy some, they only bought, like, one large one, two medium, and, like, the little roll of, like, three or four, and you had to give one to grandma, then you had to send one, you know, to, you know, your neighbor or, you know, whoever, and then you had to send one to your aunt and uncle, and, yeah. That was pretty much what everybody for. So
anybody who had an auntie knows what they're supposed to, those things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, that was cool photos. But National Report Medicare Fraud Day is also September 12th. Day of the Programmer on the 256th day of the year takes place. Do you know why?
Because 256 is half of 512, which is half of 1 gig. It's one of the measurements for memory.
Yeah, International Programmers Day today is celebrated based on binary code. The number 256 is distinct to programmers, represented by an 8-bit byte. 256 equals 2 to the 8th power. The digit makes it the highest power of 2 that is less than 365. When translated to binary code, the day reads 1000000000. That's all. Yeah, that's total nerd thing.
I'm over here like smiling about it because I understand it, but you're like, ugh.
I'm gonna read 1000000.
I don't speak in binary, thank God, but I get it.
With my pocket protector. September 12th is also National Video Games Day.
Woo!
Yes. National Chocolate Milkshake Day is the 12th. And then next Friday, to give you a heads up on next Friday, it is Positive Thinking Day, National Celiac Disease Awareness Day, Uncle Sam Day. It is National Peanut Day, National Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day, National Bald is Beautiful Day, and it is National Blame Someone Else Day. And next Friday is Friday the 13th.
Awesome.
I think
awesome.
This is the first Friday,
I love
the 13th.
The Friday the 13th.
I think this is the first Friday the 13th show this year, isn't it?
Is it?
Did we do one this year? I don't recall. I don't recall.
Google machine. Tell me Friday the 13th. I am in front of a Google machine. I will look. By the way, the sausage guy that's on the YouTube is called Ordinary Sausage. He does regular sausages, and he does some weird-ass sausages.
This is the first Friday the 13th of the year. I'm looking at a calendar now. There has been no other Friday the 13th this year.
Wow.
And there's only two, one in this month and one in December. So.
What about the one in January?
There was one
was
in January?
One in January?
No, I don't think so. It was the 12th. The 13th fell on a Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So there's only two. That's why I was like, this is the first one this year that I recall. So.
I'm looking at Friday the 13th. There's only one in 2025.
That's crazy. So, yeah. That's.
But mine falls on Friday the 13th in 2028. Yay!
Yeah.
Yay! I'll be 51.
Yay.
No! Old balls.
No.
Deflated old balls. I am the first set of tether balls that was given to a school in 1922. That is what I look like right now.
Stop it.
With rocks made of
Stop it. Not even. But, yes, so those are the things that we have coming up. So, yeah. So here's the thing. We're at the halfway point of the show. We haven't even begun our stories. I hope we get out. Right now, I'm going to say probably at least stay tuned toward the top of the hour. Hopefully we'll get, because I'm thinking right now as I'm doing editing of this show in my brain, I am probably going to get rid of our third topic, which was from last week, and I will get rid of it again this week.
Aww, poor topic.
It will get pushed again to another week. So I do want to do a story coming up on phone usage where I don't think we're all going to be surprised at who has issues with it. Also, we will take a look at what's trending. And then I have a story about something that's happening. I think it was in China. I don't want to get it wrong. But it's something that places wouldn't mind having. But it has to do with your job. So that's all I'll kind of tease you on. But first, let's do Retro Moment of the Week this week. Now I kind of feel like I have to press that one back too because I want to try and get to the top of the hour. So here's what I'm going to do. Retro Moment of the Week is next. We'll be back on the other side with more Page One. Don't go anywhere.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
New Grandma's Rich and Chewy Chocolate Chip Cookies.
You know what bugs me about some of them chocolate chip cookies, Bessie? They're hard and dry. But yours are delicious. Crispy on the outside, moist and chewy on the inside. And loaded with chocolate chips. The amazing part is you're the worst cook in Crawford County. What happened? Just a late bloomer, I suppose.
New Grandma's Rich and Chewy Chocolate Chip Cookies taste suspiciously close to homemade.
New from Swanson, and only from Swanson. A delicious new difference in frozen dinners. It's an added home-style touch. Look, cranberry sauce, new in the turkey dinner. Cocktail sauce in the fried shrimp dinner. And hashed brown potatoes, new in the beef dinner. Each of these Swanson dinners, turkey, fried shrimp, and beef, gives you the added home-style touch. It's new from Swanson, and only from Swanson. No one but Swanson gives you so much extra goodness in frozen dinners. So try these dinners with the added home-style touch. The turkey dinner with tangy cranberry sauce and all the trimmings. The fried shrimp dinner with special cocktail sauce. And the beef dinner with golden hashed brown potatoes, plus two other vegetables. They're yours only from Swanson. You can trust Swanson for the best and the newest in frozen dinners.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Back to Page One for this Friday night, September 6th, 2024. I wanted, my teeth came out. Before I even forget, I wanted to tonight kind of do it a little bit earlier, but let's take a look at what's trending because last week I almost forgot about it. The NFL season continues tonight with a game in Brazil. The Philadelphia Eagles are trending as they are playing the Green Bay Packers right now. I think it's San Paulo, Brazil.
Are either of them wearing green? Because I know that was the controversy.
Yes, they are. And here's the thing.
That's surprising.
The Packers are wearing their green uniforms, and the Eagles are wearing their white uniforms with a touch of green in them. So I was looking out for that and keeping an eye on that. I'm pretty sure the NFL is like, Screw it, man. We don't care. The commissioner was in the crowd there looking comfortable. You gotta love the commissioner, dude.
Probably wearing blue.
I think he was. I think he's wearing blue jeans and he was wearing blue jeans and a blue tank top, or not tank top, but a blue polo. So
yeah, of course.
I'm pretty sure the weather in Brazil is pretty warm right now. A lot of Packers fans down there. They're showing the NFL kickoff festival in Sydney, Australia. A lot of Packers fans there in Sydney, Australia.
Sorry, we can't go to Australia now.
Right. It's like, what the heck was
sorry,
that?
Sorry, guys, we're Bears fans. Gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that one. I just saw that. That's where a lot of people. But, yeah, right now, that game is in the third quarter, 26-24 Green Bay. I have it on TV here. That new kickoff rule is so strange. It's kind of like everybody has to wait until the ball actually lands before they can start moving, and it just looks strange. Also trending tonight, former Vice President Dick Cheney is trending. He has issued
a
statement.
Again?
Huh? No, he did not. No, he did not. Pretty much, he says that in our nation's 248-year history, there's never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He has stated that he will be casting his vote for Vice President Kamala Harris in the upcoming election.
Wow.
You know, if you lost Dick Cheney, you that's not good. SmackDown.
Wow.
Yeah, the last SmackDown on Fox as it moves to USA next week. But SmackDown is trending tonight. Also trending tonight, as we said, the Packers are trending. NFL Brazil. Also, kind of a lot of football. But among which some sad entertainment news to pass along. Legendary musician Sergio Mendes passed away today. He was 83. So that also is trending. If you don't know his most popular song, Mas Que Nada, as soon as you hear it, you will say, I can't play it. But as soon as you hear it, you'll be like, oh. Played a pivotal role in Brazilian bossa nova, bringing it to international audiences. But Sergio Mendes dead at the age of 83. So, but that is what is trending tonight. So I got that out of the way before I forget it. I think this week there was also some trending. Oh, I want to say, and I know this will be of interest to you, the Minecraft movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was some clips that came out for that. Now, you're the big Minecraft expert here. What were your thoughts?
It's going to be dumb. It's going to be so bad.
Wow.
Tell me how you really feel. I absolutely love Jack Black. Okay, so that is how I feel about it. In my mind, he could do no wrong. I absolutely love that man. I think he's amazing. It's going to fail miserably because they're not doing it right. They should have just done – it's a mixture, and it shouldn't have been. They should have done either – and this is – they're trying to ride the coattails of things, but they should have done either full animation or do full live action. And, yeah, no, I just – I'm not rushing to theaters to see it. Let's do it that way.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Yeah. It was quite interesting. And I was like, a Minecraft movie? I'm thinking it's going to be like some cartoon or when I saw it.
Right.
I'm not even a Minecraft person. I'm like, well, how would you do a movie? First of all, I don't even know how you would do it based off of the game itself. And I was like, I know we're all trying to jump on the train of, like, the hottest thing out there, but Yeah, not so sure about that one.
Right. I mean, the game itself is based on your choices. There is no, like, other than defeating the dragon, there's not really much that is everybody does it the same way, you know? You get dropped into a world, and you can either A, B, or C, or D, or, you know, whatever case you may do. There's no, it's not like a storyline. It's not like Mario. It's not like, you know, where he has to save the princess or save something or do something, like ride a cart. It's not like Zelda where he has to defeat Ganon. It's not like even, like, Grand Theft Auto these days has a story. So it's not like that. It's a very open world. It's very much whatever you decide to make of it.
Yeah. Wow.
How is the first thing that went through my brain. But, yeah, I love Jack Black, so I probably will end up watching it regardless. I think he's funny and amazing, and not saying he can do no wrong, but he sure is hilarious when he does. But I'm not looking forward to it. Not
by
waiting
the way,
in line for it. Let's do it that way.
Yeah, by the way, with NFL football starting, Fantasy League is starting, and I'm about to get literally killed by Saquon Barkley because he's having a game. 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. Philadelphia just went up 31-26 on Green Bay.
Wow.
So maybe we should
start doing Fantasy Football Corner or something.
No, because obviously I'm not that good at it, because right now I'm ready to go. We'll whiteboard that one and save it for later. So
we'll put a pin in it.
Yeah, we'll think about it. There is a story. It's kind of like 2-in-1 here, so bear with me. But this story kind of comes from the BBC. A recent survey found that a quarter of people aged 18 to 34 never answered the phone. Respondents say that they ignore the ringing, respond via text, or search the number online if they don't recognize it. The U.S. Switch survey of 2,000 people also found that nearly 70% of 18 to 34s prefer a text to a phone call. Now, for older generations, talking on the phone is normal, of course, with a lot of your parents or our parents spending their years fighting with siblings over the landline, only to have them and their entire family listening in on their conversations, probably. But in 2009, you know, especially as cellular, I think I got my first cell phone like what, around 2000. I want to say I had like a cheapy one. I think it had to have been like 6 or 7, 2006 or seven, probably. I know some people had one around 2000, but yeah.
I had a cell phone in 2000. But that was when you still had to like call after 9 o'clock because the minute.
Yeah. even with internet, you didn't use it till after 9 o'clock on a dial up. But in the U.S. survey, 37% of the 18 to 34 say voice notes are their preference of communication. In comparison, only 1% of 35 to 54 year olds prefer voice messages over a call. A voice note is just like talking on the phone better, says Susie Jones, a 19-year-old student. You get the benefits of hearing your friend's voice, but comes with no pressures, so it's a more polite way of communicating. But to what extent does phone call phobia in your personal life start affecting your work life? So they are saying that phone calls are more exposing and require a higher level of intimacy, whereas messaging is detached and allows you to connect. A lot of younger people are having a tough time with that in the workforce. So there was kind of a separate article that also came up in regards to the 10 acceptable reasons to make a phone call in 2024. So on this survey, it says the 10 most acceptable reasons. 1 was for a general chat to catch up. 2, to notify someone of a death. 3, to show support when someone is going through a tough time. Some say they like texting even for that one because they could choose their words of comfort more carefully. Another one was to wish them a happy birthday, but some people said, nope, just text me, please, which I find so just 5 when you're running late. Another one said, nope, texting is fine for that. To book things like a hotel or restaurant, where some say apps work just fine for them. It's like they're almost like they're arguing against all of it. Positive news was in there, calling in sick to work. One says, I don't want to have to showcase my sick voice to my boss. And then when you're lost or trying to find someone, some people say it's also better to text because it's too loud, or, you know, share a negative health update, which I think for everything important like that, you need to call. But I'm not really surprised studies like this on this show. And young people pretty much just don't like to interact. Me, I'm a caller. I like the call because I have to hear a voice, because there's some things in text that get lost in the translation.
Correct. I just don't understand. Like, every time somebody's acceptable reasons for a phone call, how about you have to contact somebody and they're not standing right in front of you? That's acceptable. Okay.
Yeah.
Acceptable reasons? No, that's not acceptable. Like, there's no reason to say it's acceptable. Now, acceptable language on a phone call? I'll get behind something like that. But acceptable? No. How about all the flipping time? Now, do I like it all the flipping time? No. There are times when it's like, I don't want to talk to you. That's when I let it go to voicemail. But not, I'll still call. I call customer service all the time. I just called a reservation today. Hey, got my confirmation. I'm confused about this thing. Can you walk me through it? Oh, well, you can look at it online. I'm like, just walk me through it. And they walked me through it, and like, it took 3 minutes, and we were done. Online, I would have probably had to struggle through that, because I would have had to find out where the site was, what this meant, what that meant.
Hmm.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah. It. I don't know. I just feel like I can get more done in 5 minutes on a phone call than texting back and forth for 20, 25 minutes.
Right. I understand. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. That was a weird hiccup.
You're all right. That one came from
my
the
inner monster. My phone monster came out. No, I understand texting, and there is some benefits to that, but like, really seriously, people.
Right. So yes. So that is what's going on with that. Also, this was an interesting article, and it says that while the Great Resignation made quitting seem easy, exiting an unsatisfying job has proven to be harder for some overseas, ushering in a new wave of businesses that help workers resign from their roles. And I did get it wrong. It wasn't China, it was Japan. Companies are cashing in on employers' hesitancy to call it quits and helping unhappy people leave their jobs. One such service is Exit, which oversees the resignation of 10,000 people per year and even offers half off for returning clients. According to Toshiyuki Nino, they told the Wall Street Journal that Americans may be surprised, but I was too shy or too scared to say what I think. Japanese are not educated to debate and express opinions. Similar services have cropped up across the country, which has 2.7% unemployment and staffing shortages per the journal. At quitting agencies like competitor Albatross, the staff calls clients' places of employment and declares that they are quitting. It specifies other details such as when their last day will be, how to return company-issued tech or uniforms, and more. Albatross staffer Ayumi Sakine came to work at the agency after expressing her own difficulty quitting a previous role. She, who now understands the stress of resignation, faced opposition when attempting to resign from her former job at a gas company and was only able to leave for good after crying and begging her boss. That doesn't happen here in America. While a majority of bosses will accept the notice of resignation from the third-party service provider, a fraction, around 10% of employers, require legal negotiations with a lawyer present, according to Albatross CEO Senji Tanimoto. Momuri and Yarnita Irene are also vying for unsatisfied workers' attention, some with advents in public transit and offer it out for employees at a hefty price tag. Yuta Sakamoto, who previously sold home improvement projects, forked over $200 to a quitting agency so he could leave his job, where his former boss told him he'd be ruining his career if he ever left. So pretty much it is a new way for people in Japan to quit their jobs. Do you see something like that happening here in the States? And is it good to have a third party, I guess, negotiating it out on your behalf?
I don't know that I see it coming to the U.S. I'm not, like, wholly sure. However, I will say that there are gaps. If you have to use a phone, then, yeah, that's going to be a hard way of, you know, tie those together. They all come around. You might have to call them, too. I don't know that I see that happening, but I do understand why, like, in Japan – I believe their employment is more based on contracts. So you have to sign a contract of employment instead of like, hi, you're hired and you are on probation for 6 months, a year, whatever. And then after that, you're full time. And it's you just show up until something changes, which is what most of the U.S., I think, employment is. Without any kind of knowledge or statistics in front of me. Whereas in Japan, it's more you sign a contract, you're on for a year, and then you renegotiate your contract. So that might be why it's harder to quit, because there's a contract involved.
Gotcha. This from the Potpourri Files. One airline exec's anti-alcohol request. Oh, by the way, I know you probably wanted my opinion on it. I don't see it happening here in the U.S. because here's the thing. Most jobs are going to, unfortunately, most jobs here will probably either fire you first or here. I think people, even now, are more comfortable with putting in their resignation or 2 weeks notice to move on elsewhere and to kind of, you know, leave on good terms. But even then, that's a debate for itself, is should workers still provide 2 week notices, being as they don't get 2 week notices.
Right. Yeah. That's a different debate.
That's a different debate for a different day. But, I will tell you, I can't see that happening here, but yes, in countries where that does occur, and that continues to happen, yeah, that can definitely be, I guess, a boon to kind of help with the workflow out that way. But heading on to the next story that I was talking about, one airline exec's anti-alcohol request might be a tall order for boozing travelers. After Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary's comments about the need to impose a two-drink limit at airport bars due to an uptick in violence among plane passengers, frequent flyers aren't too pleased with the proposal. O'Leary said this week, we don't want to begrudge people having a drink. He says, but we don't allow people to drink drive, yet we keep putting them up in the aircraft at 33,000 feet. He argued that gate agents have difficulty identifying overserved individuals during boarding, and imposing a drink limit will protect the safety of the pilots, crew, and fellow flyers. In the old days, people who drank too much would eventually fall over or fall asleep, but now those passengers are also on tablets and powder, he says. So, and it's the mix. You get much more aggressive behavior that becomes very difficult to manage, and it's not directed just at the crew. Passengers fighting with each other is now a growing trend on board the aircraft. But travelers aren't so thrilled about the prospects of sober flying, taking to Reddit to express their adamant disapproval of his suggestion. One scolded the O'Leary and said, don't you dare take away my airport drinking. Another one says, insist we turn up to airports 3 hours early. Take away the one thing that's even remotely enjoyable at airports. Not a big fan of the proposal, won't lie. And another said, or maybe just have an absolute zero tolerance and ban everyone getting violent on flights for being allowed to fly or leave the country again, argued someone else, writing that plenty of passengers, quote, don't start causing fights and getting violent when drunk. One says, I would be unable to fly. I get very severe anxiety when flying, and I found a couple of drinks really helps me through. And another one says, I don't get smashed. I don't harm or upset anyone. Why should I be punished because other people can't handle their booze? Does he have a point there in regards to airports kind of putting a limit on drinks.
I mean, there's a point to both sides. I can see both sides. There has been an uptick of people being stupid, but are they always drunk when they're being stupid? They might just be stupid Karens. And no offense to the people that are actually named Karen. I'm just saying the people that are like, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and this is how it's going to be. Call my manager or let me talk to your manager kind of thing. I could see where a limit would be helpful in that situation. Giving your gate, agents and giving your flight attendants a little bit more power to be able to discern that, more training to discern who has had one too many. That might help instead of having to have, take away your drinks. I also agree with, if you're going to make me get to an international flight 3 hours early and I'm sitting there doing absolutely nothing, why can't I have a drink or two? But if I'm only there 3 hours early, I shouldn't be able to get 17 down and be so drunk. So I can see both sides.
Once again,
you've been in an airport.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a drink or two, haven't you?
Actually, you know what? The weird thing is that one time I had one early in the morning at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I remember someone had like one of those giant drinks, and they were about to get on the flight, and the flight attendant told them no, and said that they had to finish it there. So they hurriedly, which I thought was the worst thing you could probably tell somebody, because at that point, then they like downed it because they weren't about to throw out like a very expensive drink. So, now it's going to go quicker to their head. But here's once again where bad apples are spoiling it for the entire bunch, because we're all adults here. And I'm kind of on the whole thing of if someone caused a ruckus like that, then I think the penalty should be for the first offense, you are banned nationwide like a year or at least two from getting on an airline. And if it happens again, then it's a 10-year ban. Third offense, you just stop flying at all. So I think that would stop some people from, and even if most people nowadays don't even drink, who are the ones who and have some kind of issues or inner issues going on in regards to what's, and it's always the people, once they get on the plane and start to fly, they never have the issue when we're boarding. Never.
Right. Or it's if always, they have the issue when they're boarding, as soon as a cop shows up to escort them off the plane, everything's okay. No.
Everything's
I'm
fine.
I'm okay. Everything's fine. You don't have to do it. No, yes, we do.
Yes, we do,
because you're stupid.
Yeah, we do. Actually, I saw.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, they have every right, unless, you were just wrong, but flight attendants have every right to kick you off that plane for the safety of everyone else on that flight. But I do believe, though, if you're drinking and you get on there and you've been overserved and you did some stupid stuff, I think it should be like, scalable offenses at first times a year. Because at that point, that's going to deter anybody from acting a fool. And if you got to fly for certain purposes, you definitely don't want to mess that up. And then, like I said, 5 year or 10 year, or maybe even, if you do something extremely bad, then it's going to be a huge ban. Got to start kind of pushing it a little bit so that way it will stop people or deter them from, because if you just arrest them, fine them, and they can still get back on a flight, there was no learning to what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that we could talk about with crime, especially in this country. If you do something without a shadow of a doubt, there is no reason that for the worst offense that there is, quote, a short term that you have to sit and think about it. You know, if you've done a few things wrong, there has to be a lead up to particular crimes and things that you've done. And that is why, you know, especially here in the U.S., you start to have people who don't take the justice system so seriously because there's no punishment truly to it that fits the crime. So, yeah, but that's where we're at with flights. So here's the thing. After Dark's next. I came close. We're going to give you close to a full hour of After Dark. Listener discretion. Yeah. I last minute left a bunch of stuff off that we'll have to talk about next week, but we'll get to that. So listener discretion is advised. I will advise you all that if you have kiddies nearby, or if you are easily offended, because tonight I'm pretty sure you probably will be, I would advise that at this point, we'll probably say goodnight to you if you don't want to listen to After Dark. We understand. If you do want to listen, join us back here in about 1 minute from right now where we will have it. You've been forewarned. This is Page One with LeVar and Mary. After Dark is next here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, Page One. We are now in After Dark Zone, so if you are listening, listener discretion is advised. So,
and if you're offended, you've been listening to the wrong channel for a very
right.
long
time. Right. Well, I mean, if we're telling you it's After Dark, and I've warned you a couple of times, and the stuff that's going to come out of our mouth probably in the next hour, you probably don't want to sit and listen to. So I would understand. we'll see you next week. For another edition of Page One, yes, and we'll warn you if there's another edition of After Dark. Some people start to like the change up with it. They like the After Dark segment, so we'll do a little bit more of it. So, yeah, if you don't like that, then So first one, I swear. More articles come out about what Gen Z does. It's not a hit at them. I swear to you, it's not a hit. But it's just more that kind of circles. It's more that kind of comes out that circles around what Gen Z and millennials do. But the World Health Organization has issued a warning about an alarming decline in condom use among adolescents that is expected to lead to a long list of consequences, including higher STI rates and increased healthcare costs. A recent study found that almost a third of 15-year-olds, 30%, reported using neither a condom nor a contraceptive pill the last time that they were sexually active. If they did use a form of contraception, they were less likely to use a condom than a pill. Condom use among sexually active adolescents has declined significantly over the last decade. Teens from poor or low affluence families were more likely to have reported not using a condom. Condom use among girls was lowest in Albania at 24% and highest in Serbia at 81%. For boys, the lowest rate was found in Sweden at 43%, while the highest rate was found in Switzerland at 77%. However, the experts warned that the worrying trend of unprotected sex among the school-aged children they surveyed seemed to be a pervasive issue across Europe. This has put a concerning amount of young people at significant risk of sexually transmitted infections and unplanned pregnancies. The issue will likely have far-reaching consequences, including a rise of unintended pregnancies, unsafe abortions, and an increased risk of contracting STIs across the continent. Dr. Hans Henry Klug, the World Health Organization Regional Director for Europe, said that while the report's findings are dismaying, they're not surprising. They explained that a lack of sexual education, something we talked about here last week, and access to contraceptive methods, along with a concerted effort to block sexual education, has led to this shocking health crisis. They say that age-appropriate comprehensive sexuality education remains neglected in many countries, and where it is available, it has increasingly come under attack in recent years on the false premise that it encourages sexual behavior, when the truth is that equipping young persons with the right knowledge at the right time leads to optimal health outcomes linked to responsible behavior and choices. Now, health officials in the U.S. have been warning the rise of life-threatening sexually transmitted infections is out of control as people of all ages are ditching condoms. This isn't like, you know, in just particular places. This seems to be worldwide. And it once again goes back to the core of what we talked about last week before we ran out of time. Should this now kind of be mandatory in schools? I mean, I know people religiously are going to have an issue with it. But it, from a health and education standpoint, we're now looking at people who are contributing to a rise in sexually transmitted diseases when it could have been taught that, no, this is not what you do.
Right. Yeah, no. Here's the thing. You could easily teach this in schools, and then for those that have religious implications where they are not, there's specific religious teachings that they have to do, allow them to not be part of that class. Opt out. And then here's the other part. You got to let it happen. So for every single person that goes, yeah, okay, that's fine. They can have the class if they want to, but I don't want my child to get involved. And what happens if? No. If you don't want your child involved, opt out and then trust the system. Well, that person's going to teach my child. Well, you know what? YouTube teaches your child a lot of stuff too. I just don't agree with stopping education because you believe in something versus the larger majority. It's like, I don't have to be like, you don't have to force me to do anything on your because of what you do. So don't make me do that if you don't want to do it. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You're going to yell about, I don't want my kid to know about that. That's great. I do. And I believe that I have just as much right as you do.
So now comes the million-dollar question. What age do we start? We're already seeing in this report 15-year-olds. Do you start in high school, freshman in high school?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to do it in my health class. I was 14. Done. Absolutely. Freshman year. I think you should do the birds and the bees. You should do the, hey, your body's changing talk at around 11, 12, because that's about the time that people are starting to hit puberty. And
so 7th, 8th grade is where you say we should start learning these things.
Yeah, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, whatever that is. And just the biological part of you are hitting puberty. Here are the changes that are happening to your body. And you can do that. I don't care who you are. There is no religion out there that's going to say, guess what? A woman doesn't get her period until she gets married. No, I don't think so. Your religion cannot stop my body from bleeding. Thank you. Because if that were true, every woman would be that religion.
Right.
I am speaking from experience. If one religion said, you do not have a period until you get married, I would have joined that religion and never got married.
You know what they served in church for those? Pickle juice.
But yeah, so like, that you could be very scientific about your body's changing. Here's puberty. This is what's going to happen. That's earlier on because that's happening earlier on. But the birds and the bees sexual component part, and you could still be very scientific and be very on point with it without having to be. There's nothing offensive in it. Freshman year. 100%
no,
freshman year.
I don't think there is. And I think really I'm kind of with you where there needs to be a start of like some type of sexual ed classes that start probably around seventh, eighth grade. And then kind of it gets a little bit more extensive when you get to high school because, I mean, I know people don't want to believe it, but these are the ages that people are starting to have sex, you know, 14, 15. And would you rather not teach them and then your kid comes home with some type of STI, STD, or would you rather, or pregnant, or would you rather, you know, they go through, you know, the proper training in which they will know that, hey, if you go out and do this, we're going to at least tell you that if you do it, we'd much rather you learn this stuff so that if you do, you are prepared to know. Because I think one thing that really, for especially for our generation, and I know I can speak for it, is that I know a lot of people in my high school, when they saw that in science class freshman year of the lady giving birth,
oh, yeah. Lots of people were like, everything shriveled up and grew back inside. We went backwards.
No one in my high school class got pregnant over those next 4 years. No one.
And rightfully so. I'm just laughing at the fact that it took somebody screaming, basically, and be like, yep, nope, I'm not going to even be in puberty anymore. Thank you. Good night.
No one did. That was
and again, you can do it very much on the scientific side. It doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have, like, it just doesn't. You just do it and it's, shut up. You keep it on the scientific side of things. And that's it.
Yeah, it was harder for fellas to get the first or second base after that video.
like I said, if any religion ever said to me, I can keep you from having your, I'd be pissed that I'd find out this now. Like, why didn't you tell me 30 years ago, you know?
Oh, no, they're not going to tell you. So there is this really is an after dark story, but this is kind of interesting. So, well,
there's not enough sex, drugs, and rock and roll in this one.
Well, no, I know. Well, this one was kind of interesting because it brings up an old story here. When it comes to friendships between men and women, many people hold the belief that there's always a potential for something more than just friendship. But how does this belief change when the woman in the friendship dresses or behaves more like one of the guys rather than someone who might be a romantic rival? A recent study published in Personality and Individual Differences explored this intriguing question, revealing that women who prefer male friends are generally perceived by other women as less trustworthy, more sexually promiscuous, and greater threats to romantic relationships. However, those might shift depending on how the woman presented herself. Friendships between men and women, cross-sex friendships, have long been subjects of suspicion. Previous research has shown that women who prefer male friends are often viewed as less trustworthy and more sexually promiscuous, which can lead to social aggression and ostracism from other women. However, researchers have not explored how a woman's gender expression, how masculine or feminine she appears, affects those perceptions. So to explore how it impacts the perception of women who prefer cross-sex versus same-sex friendships, the researchers conducted three separate experiments, each focusing on different aspects of gender expression. Across all those experiments, heterosexual women were asked to evaluate female targets based on manipulated profiles or images. Each target was described as either preferring male or female friends. Study 1 focused on interests and hobbies. The researchers created social media profiles for a fictional female college student and manipulated her gender expression by assigning her either masculine or female hobbies and career aspirations. So, for example, the masculine profile might feature interests like sports and a career goal of becoming an engineer, while the feminine profile might include hobbies like dancing and a goal of becoming an elementary school teacher. Study 2 shifted the focus to clothing. Participants were shown social media posts of the same fictional woman preparing for a wedding. The key difference was in what she planned to wear, a masculine suit or a feminine dress. And Study 3 examined facial characteristics. They used images of the women's face that were digitally altered to appear more masculine or feminine. In all three studies, the participants were asked to evaluate the target's trustworthiness, perceived sexual promiscuity, sexual orientation, and among other things. So across all three studies, they found consistent evidence that women who prefer male friends are generally viewed more negatively by other women. Specifically, women who had more male friends were perceived as the less trustworthy, more sexually promiscuous, and a threat. And those findings pretty much supported their research that women who prefer those friends often face that aggression. And, yeah, I mean, it pretty much was the findings suggest that women tend to dislike other women who prefer male friends regardless of gender expression. However, there was a caveat. Sometimes when a woman presents themselves masculinity, like through clothing, they kind of laid off of them. But, yeah, there was a huge issue with you women because you didn't like and you didn't trust that friend that preferred a lot of male friends.
That's so weird to me. I guess it's just – okay, I don't I see it. I understand it. I get it. I've been on both sides of it. Not – hating somebody, but just like someone going, oh, it's no big deal, and then yeah, that's a big deal. I don't get it. I have obviously masculine friends, I have feminine friends, I have friend groups that include anything across the rainbow, and I am not at all, if you're cool with me, I'm cool with you, and I can be a friend to you. I've never looked at somebody and said, you're a dude, I can't be friends with you.
But
never
you
have I said that.
Are you saying that you don't judge other females that have a lot of male friends?
No. No, I don't. I judge other females that have male friends that are pick-me girls. Those I judge, but no. That's why I said I've been on both sides of it. There is a very specific type of girl that's like, oh, I can only have guy friends because I don't like girlfriends, but then they're doing everything. They're being a pick-me girl. They're doing the whole, like, oh, my God. And you can tell. You can tell it's a fake thing. It's like, you don't want female friends because of the competition. Stop it. I'm also older, so I don't care. whatever. And I'm also one that, yeah, right. Yes. But I'm also, like, I also respect boundaries, too. So if the guy's like, hey, I like this type of girl, or, hey, you know, I'm seeing somebody, I'm never going over and like, oh, my God, your arms are so strong. I think we would have really cute kids. No. What? Why? I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird. But I can see it.
All right. Of course, us guys, we don't even know. We can't even judge. Now, here's the thing. I don't think guys are the same way. If a guy has a lot of women friends, you know, it's kind of like, it is who it is. Or it was just by happenstance. I know some guys are jealous if a guy has a lot of women friends, and then other guys are kind of leery of of that guy because pretty much they feel like, I think some guys too, they just don't really care. I don't think they do. Because it can go either way. It's kind of like if you have a lot of guy friends, it's like, hey, you're one of the boys. You hang out with all the guys. You do a lot of different stuff. You go to a lot of different things, do a lot of different things. You hang out with a lot of women, you know, the old school kind of method kind of comes across in terms of thinking about that guy. But even then, if it's a straight guy, I think at that point, they're kind of like, oh, well, that's just kind of the way it fell. Maybe he's, you know, I was back in high school, you know, if a guy knew a lot of girls, like, oh, he's a pimp, you know, he's just trying to talk to a lot of different people. I think as you grow
big
older,
pimp and spin
cheese. Yes. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it was. So women are a little bit different. I know it's a little bit more kind of,
we're all catty.
Yeah.
We really are. The nails come out, dude. They really do.
Do you know how much sex each generation has?
God, I don't know that I want to know.
Well, in honor of World Sexual Health Day, Indiana researchers have released a study comparing how much sex each generation is having each month, and Gen Z doesn't score highly. They found, among other raunchy revelations, that the youngsters are seriously lagging when it comes to getting frisky in the sack. Nearly half of Gen Z reported that they were single, wrote Dr. Justin Lee Miller, who is a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. The study titled The State of Dating, How Gen Z is Redefining Sexuality and Relationships, is based on data collected from over 3,310 users of the dating app Field. It's F-E-E-L-D. And I don't even know it's Field.
Yes. Sure,
maybe
we'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. The participants, who hailed from 71 different countries and ranged in age from 18 to 75, were surveyed about their sexual relationship attitudes and behaviors, as well as their experience. They sought to contrast the sexual relationship identities, behaviors, and preferences. The survey found that both generation, roughly between 1965 and 1980, and millennials, those born between 1981 and 1996, had the highest boudoir score. Participants in these age groups reported getting jiggy with it an average of 5 times in the past month. Meanwhile, both baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, and zoomers, born between 1997 and 2012, tied for last place, having made whoopee 3 times that month on average. Gen Z and boomers exhibited nearly identical sexual frequencies, suggesting that both the youngest and oldest adults are having the least sex. Although quantity is not everything, as a recent study found that Zoomers were having the most fun when it came to the no-pants dance. Interestingly, 50% of Gen Z participants reported that they were single, compared to only one-fifth of Millennials, Gen X, and Boomers. Despite not being so prolific in the sack, Zoomers were the most adventurous, with half claiming they discovered a new kink since joining that app. Meanwhile, 49% of Millennials, 39% of Gen X, and 33% of boomers said that they had found a freaky kink that excited them. Researchers provided 2 possible explanations for this phenomenon. One is simply that older adults have had more time to learn and discover what they enjoy about sex, so they may already have uncovered their kinks, they wrote. However, the other is that it also appears to be the case that younger adults today have a greater overall interest in kink than older adults, which may create greater openness to exploring and learning about one's kinks. Exactly paradoxical was the fact that Gen Z was nearly twice as likely to fantasize about monogamy than the older generations, per the study. So, also on this study, they theorized that older adults have simply had more practice with monogamy, and some may have found that it isn't for them. So, to be put plainly, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But yeah, are you kind of surprised by the study?
No, not really. I mean, you're looking at, okay, boomers. They're my parents. Your parents. They're a little bit older. They've done their thing. They don't necessarily have to. So that makes sense. Our generation, the generation immediately following our generation, we're kind of in our prime. So that also makes sense.
Yeah.
The Zoomers. Yeah, I know, right? I'm kind of proud of that. Throwing that out there. I'm going to pound my chest on that one. also, I'm in the Zoomer category right now. So anybody? No, I'm just kidding. But the Zoomers and then the Gen Z, Gen Alpha, They are the iPad generation, so they're not gonna necessarily have as much. Thank God. Gen Alpha better not be. Those are like your 10-year-olds, right? Like 14. So no. Stop it. Get some help.
Yes.
No, I'm not really surprised. Not with the way that our generations have kind of grown up. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I wonder what story I should do next, but I'm going to do this one. When do you usually have sex? What time?
Yes. Wait, like recently? And are we talking like recently, like normal people talk recently? Or are we talking like
Midwest I'm just recently, asking, is there a particular, 10 years ago? Is there a particular day or time?
I will say that I am more frisky in the morning. I am a morning person. I like waking up and going, you know, like there's something about it. But I'm not against it. Any
it's
time, place, or...
waking up. Oh, sorry.
Is Mary Angel? So, yeah. Like, I tend to be a morning romper. More, like, that's I feel like I get more out of it. But, yeah, anytime.
You know what? Here's the strange thing to that. Out of all the people, and if you've heard my other program, the 411 Lounge, of all the adult stars that I have interviewed over the last decade, when that question comes up, most always say morning or midday. No one ever says night, which is the most interesting thing because I guess at night everybody's tired. It just doesn't want to deal. But it
well, not just
out,
tired. If you think about it, and maybe I'm jumping into the article a little too much, but if you think about it, evening, you've already had a full day of frustration, and it should help you unwind, but then there's the whole, like, am I doing it right? Are we, you know, touch me here, touch me there, I don't want to tell you what's going on, whereas in the morning, clean slate, dude, you just woke up. What better way to not get out of bed?
Interesting. We're going to come back to
my
that,
opinion.
But the reason why I asked is that it turns out that Saturday, oh, I'm a guy, because I know you're going to ask my next question. What about you? I'm a guy. Any time of day is good.
Yes. The answer to that was yes.
But it turns out that Saturday is actually hump day. A new global study has revealed that 10.09 p.m. on Saturdays is the exact time that people are having the most sex. Luxury lingerie retailer Pourboire conducted a survey of 2,000 sexually active adults across the world to discover humankind's habits. A sizable 43% of respondents said that Saturday was their favorite day to get freaky and the day they were most likely to do the deed. Friday came in second with 22% of respondents, followed by Sunday and Thursday at 10% and 6% respectively. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the earliest days of the week were less alluring. Monday was the least favorite day of the week for sex, with just 2% of respondents ranking it as their first preference. The study found that late night hours are the most popular for sexy time, with 10.09 p.m. being the most sexually active minute on the clock. So that means that here in the Central Standard Time Zone, some of you about 20 minutes ago just had sex. The least likely time where respondents were likely, the least likely time where respondents were likely to be having sex was on weekday afternoons. So those who do enjoy a mid-workday romp are in for a rare category. Mondays at 1:02 p.m. was deemed the least sexually moment of the week. Additionally, the lingerie experts analyzed just how often people are having sex, where nearly half of the respondents, 48%, saying they partake in sexual activity with another person once a week. Reported having sex more often, with 19% of respondents making love twice a week, 13% three times a week, and 7% four times a week. So as frequency increases, the percentage decreases, with only 1% of participants reporting participating in sexual activity on a daily basis. No stuff. How often adults would like to have sex warranted a different response for men and women. Adults overall feel that having sex twice a week is ideal, and men between the ages of 25 and 45 are in the same category. But women in the same age group were found to have the highest sex drive, revealing that having sex four times a week is the ideal amount. As a sexual lingerie retailer, we aim to make as many people as possible feel their best and most confident, according to Marina Nicolini, who is the marketing manager at Pourboire. So she said, so it's really interesting to see how intimacy varies from person to person around the globe, but also noted it is the weekend evenings that seem to be the most popular time for people to feel that they're most relaxed and ready to enjoy time with their partner.
I still answer yes. Oh, what?
Those
men were lying 2 days a week. those men were lying.
Sunday through Saturday?
Sunday through
Anytime.
Saturday, 2 days a week.
Anytime. I can get Mondays, though. I think everybody's stressed on Monday. Poor Monday.
Yeah, poor Monday.
Poor Monday.
Monday
everybody's
needs more help.
Everybody's stressed at the beginning of the week, and nobody wants to deal at the beginning of the week. I get it. I was actually surprised at how high Sunday kind of ranked, but I you know, it's not happening during the NFL season.
not in this house.
A lot of football widows out there right now. But, you know, I could get where Saturday and, like, Thursday. If you do it on Friday, wait until either before or after our show.
Yeah. Or if you're going to be doing during, just, you know, I'm glad that we're helping out. Question mark.
Yeah. but, yes. So, yeah, I'm not really too surprised by that. Like I said, guys are different, man. We'll take it when we can get it. Doesn't matter what day. Doesn't matter what time. If you're offering it, we're taking it. I don't know of any picky guy that's like, it's Monday. I don't want to have sex. that's not happening.
I'm sure there's one out there, and they're in Sobas, so that's on them.
If they are, then their partner is pretty much just...
No, they're not. They don't have a partner if they're doing that.
Well, I was going to say, they're just a fingertip away.
Yeah, no, they
but,
don't have partners if they're doing
yeah,
that.
They
if we're complaining
partners.
About that stuff, they don't have partners.
Yeah, they don't
Sorry.
Have partners. If you're a guy that's probably complaining about that, chances are you aren't seeing any. It's just you and your hand tonight, as the song says. So this last one is probably the main reason, well, this next to last story, is probably one of the main reasons we do After Dark. Like I said, nothing against Gen Z, but all these articles have come out, and Gen Z kind of leads the pack with it. God, and I even feel embarrassed to even probably say, no, but we're all adults here. So here's the story. X marks the spot, but the Z's can't find it. Despite having youth, stamina, and virility on their side, a majority of sexually active Gen Z jits have no clue where to locate the clitoris during coitus, according to jaw-dropping new data. Researchers from the Urology Foundation recently surveyed 2,000 UK blokes to find that only 41% of men ages 18 to 24 know the whereabouts of the female pleasure part. Shockingly, however, it seems baby boomers have the zoomers licked as a remarkable 70% of fellows aged 55 to 64 were able to positively pinpoint it per the poll. Representatives for the organization tell the Post that investigators asked participants of their study pool where in the body is the clitoris located, alongside multiple choice responses, multiple choice, reading above the opening to a female's urethra where the inner labia meet, in the vagina, between the vagina and the anus, none of the above, or not sure. Ultimately, the pros determined an impressive 61% of dudes across all generations can accurately put a finger on a hot spot, no GPS necessary. But it should come as no surprise that most younger guys are not well-versed in the vagina's design. In fact, sex experts like psychologist Lori Mintz, a professor from the University of Florida, previously argued that women orgasm less than men due to sexual misinformation spread through popular media, which often underemphasizes the internal stimulation. Education for both men and women about the clitoris could be a game changer, she said, and it seems the game is in dire need of changing, as a recent report revealed that most women have grown accustomed to faking orgasms during sex to protect their clitoris blind man's fragile ego. But probers of the Urology Foundation found that menfolk aren't just ignorant to the intricacies of the female anatomy, they're also a bit bedeviled by their own. To the survey question, where in the body is the prostate located, just 38% of people under the age of 25 could correctly identify the reproductive gland. Contrastingly, 58% of male boomers zeroed in on the zone. Rebecca Porter, chief executive of the Urology Foundation, warns that their lack of body knowledge may be life-threatening. While the data reveals that only 41% of young men aged 18 to 24 could identify the location of the clitoris, what's more startling is that only 38% of them could locate their own prostate. This was lower than any other age category. It's worrying that many males are reaching adulthood without knowing where their prostate is or what does or what it does, and more males aged 18 to 24 are aware of female sexual anatomy than their own bodies. She also cautioned the perilous risk one runs by remaining uninformed about their physical form. And is definitely for you being more empowered to take control of your own health. I am not shocked by this study at all.
You are not shocked by this study. Okay.
Nope.
You don't.
Nope.
Tell me why.
Nope.
Tell me why.
Because they're young. They don't know. And here's the thing. A lot of younger people, and let's all be adults about this, a lot of younger people don't do what older people do.
Hey.
Just say it. It's pretty much just one part to it, but this runs both ways.
Oh, I'm not shocked by it either. I mean, it comes back, it circles back to what we talked about with sex education. I had a health class. Sex education was a big deal in the health class. I mean, we talked about other stuff, but I think we ended up at, you know, semester course. I think we took like 4 or 5 weeks. It was like a good month that we talked about sexual reproduction, reproductive organs. We talked about where things were located. My first most embarrassing part of it was when they handed out I'm wondering where they got these. Basically printouts of the male anatomy and the female anatomy with lines pointing to specific areas. Boys got the girl version, girls got the boy version, and we had to label it. And as soon as I got the paper, I'm like, oh, I know what this is, I know what this is, I know what this is, I know what this is. And I started filling it in, and my teacher walked up and said, oh, yes, you are correct, Mary, that is the penis at 14. I never started anything first in that class again. But no, with lack of education, you're going to not be able to find and or know what things are or what they do. And that's not just sex, that's everything. Ask somebody where their, like, medulla oblongata is. They probably won't be able to point at it.
Yeah. I mean, I am never surprised by the lack of what we don't know. In regards to our body. And I think that, like you said, it goes back to the teaching sex in school. Because what happens is that when you don't teach these things, you're going to get what you have from that study. And the fact that they did not know, and like I said, there's a lot of, I mean, it doesn't come without a learning curve and learning particular things, but also too, I don't know. I'm not shocked. It's kind of like younger folks aren't going to really know it. Some don't choose to learn it. But if you don't learn it and you don't, if you don't learn it, that's what you get. And I'm sorry, right. I was kind of looking up at the screen here. The Packers game is late in the fourth quarter, 6 seconds to go. And guess what just happened? Jordan Love went down with an injury, and he is being helped to the sideline, and he is gingerly walking. And he's my fantasy league quarterback.
Oh, no!
So with 6 seconds to go, the backup for the Green Bay Packers is coming in. Jordan Love was down for the count for a while. He just got up. I have no idea. Mark Willis is coming in. He's in his third season. We'll see what happens with 6 seconds to go.
Oh, man alive.
You know what? I have the worst luck with up-and-comers or veteran stars. Like, that's why I drafted 3 quarterbacks. And now I guess I am going to have to go to my bench early in the season. But anyway, I digress. But, yes, that is what happens with that. So I had another story here because I didn't know how long we were going to be with this tonight. Here's the thing, and I guess I never sat in a car and made out. Ever since the invention of the cars, lovers have been taking to the back seat for a little romantic one-on-one time, often driving to a favorite scenic spot to set the mood. I guess I have to put that on my my bucket list, I guess. If you're on a date and just getting to know the person you hope to get a little closer to, choosing the right locale is of the utmost importance, according to Amber Brooks, the editor-in-chief at datingnews.com. You can't just drive to a parking lot and expect your date to spoon, the expert chided. Planning is everything when it comes to successful dates. She says, go find a vista, pack a picnic, put on some tunes, and make a memory together. By the way, that is a final from Brazil. Philadelphia is one. Last-second interception from sack, 34-29. The site surveyed 3,000 Americans, asking them to kiss and tell the public about their favorite lover's lanes. 3 Empire State locales made the steamy list. The Adirondacks came in at number 39, Niagara Falls at number 77, Bear Mountain at 141. Still, New York had nothing New York had to offer, was able to beat the likes of the most popular site to make out. Can you guess where that was?
No, because these are a lot more specific than I thought. Like,
think of a spot where it would be beautiful to, like, overlook and see.
Well, there's a lot of good overlooking spots to see. Even in Chicago, there's a lot of skyline spots that you can go to.
You're far off, but I'm going to tell you. Hawaii's Hana Highway, the popular Maui scenic route, came in at number 1 on the list. The winding 64.4-mile-long drive connecting the towns of Hana and Kauai is filled with places to pull over and enjoy breathtaking views, assuming you come up rare between kisses. Meanwhile, back on the mainland, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, was crowned the second best smooching spot. The iconic smoky mist that rises from the mountain top set the mood for a steamy car session. For those who want to get higher still, Colorado's Pikes Peak and Colorado Springs was ranked the 3rd most make-out-worthy destination. The 19-mile road to the 14,000-foot summit offers couples plenty of pullover spots, whether it be romantic picnic at Crow Gulch or fishing at the Crystal Creek Reservoir. Fishing?
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know about fishing and making out. That's not something I would put together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
I mean,
little special.
Hey, whatever.
We got
whatever.
Links in 6. There we go.
Whatever toots your horn.
I love that. Do you know where that's from?
No, I don't, but I still love it.
If
it's
you
perfect.
Haven't watched the video, there's one that's a 15-minute video, and there's another one that's about 3 or 4 minutes. All you need is a 3 or 4 minute video. From those 2 guys that were caught putting the weights in the fish during that fishing tournament, and it was like 30,000 on the line, and I guess they had won like every like contest. Those guys were getting like pissy, and when they came up with these fish that looked really small, they weighed a lot, and the fishermen, you could hear them in the background like, there's no way those fish weigh that. And so you see like this time goes as somebody take the knife and like take the fish and cut it open. And once they cut it open, then you heard,
we got weights and sticks.
There we go. And what proceeded was like 5 minutes of F-bombs and people threatening these guys' lives. And I think just recently they were sentenced to prison or jail for swindling All that money for the contest, it was hilarious. But anyway, the most popular, like I said, Hana Highway in Maui, Hawaii was one. Great Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg, Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs, Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee was fourth, Skyline Drive in Shenandoah National Park, Virginia. Number six was the Red Rock Canyon Scenic Drive in Las Vegas.
That is a beautiful drive. I will not lie. There's a couple of spots where you can actually see almost down into, like, you'll get a really good shot of the strip. So, yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not make out.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
No.
No. No.
That's going to get too many people in trouble.
we went fishing.
We got weights and fish. There we go.
Also on the list was the 17-mile drive in Monterey, California. At number eight, South Mountain Park in Phoenix. At number nine was the A1A Coastal Highway, Palm Coast, Florida. And number 10, the Wrangelly Lakes Scenic Byway in Wrangelly, Maine. So, yeah, a lot of makeout spots if you were looking to go across the U.S. So there you go. But before we forget, tonight I did have one more most interesting story, which is probably one of the most funnier stories. We all know that the United States, the great thing about this country is that we have the
Florida man.
Bald eagle.
Oh, no.
As our symbol here. Yeah, the bald eagle. But in this case, the Missouri Department of Conservation was first given reports that a bald eagle at the Civil War location of Wilson's Creek National Battlefield had been hurt. But the truth was much more of a mouthful. I'll explain it all to you. Yeah, I think you all know where this story is going to probably head. But as they got there, the bird, originally reported to be injured, was found to be healthy, but engorged with a raccoon. In other words, it was too fat to fly. The department announced this along with x-ray photos showing an undigested paw still in its stomach. The eagle has been rehabilitated and released back to the park. So although VCA Animal Hospital reports that Amazon parrots, budgerigars, cockatiels, and macaws are birds that typically struggle with obesity, non-domesticated birds are often at little risk as opposed to pets. Wild birds exercise frequently during daily activities such as flying to escape predators, playing with other flock members, foraging for food, searching for a mate. Just like with people, dietary changes that favor fruits and vegetables is the most viable way. So in other words, the symbol of America in the Show Me State has really reached new heights with its new low. Too fat to fly.
Oh, my God. You know, that's going to be my new album cover. I'm too fat to fly.
No.
Yes. Are you kidding? That's amazing.
And with that, the old clock on the wall is telling us that time's just about out. Do you have any shout-outs for this week?
This week, let me double-check. Whoop, 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 because I got caught off guard. Other than the first day of school stuff that people gave me, I was like, oh, my God. And then, like, earlier this week, we had a couple of people that are part of the Discord, so happy birthdays to you.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Yeah. Other than that, no, I actually don't have anybody this week, surprisingly.
No?
Give me 10. No, surprisingly. Like I said, I've got a couple from the Discord, but nothing this week. Next week. And kiddo's uncle is having a birthday, so that's next.
Happy birthday!
Yeah.
Which so, yes. is very funny on that one. So if you want to hear the story about Uncle Augie, just hit me up.
Do we have time?
Just the fact that he's having his 23rd birthday.
Oh, well. Nothing strange. No, nothing strange.
Not these days.
Not
anymore.
These days. Nothing strange. Not these days. Nothing strange about that at all. So, I will say that, no, it's nothing. If this was about 30, 40 years ago, perhaps, but no.
Right.
No, nothing strange. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. So, yes. But, no shout-outs here. I will thank the folks, no matter where you're at, for listening, as always. We will be back with you. There's a lot of stories we did not get to tonight. So all of those get moved to next Friday night. So a lot of stuff. I think we even have a couple more topics from the After Dark we didn't even get to. So we'll do those next Friday night as well. So for Mary, I'm LeVar. As always, in closing, I will tell you all to take care of yourselves, each other. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again next week for another edition of Page One. Thanks for listening, and good night, everybody.
Bye.
Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at the same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Thanks for listening to Page One.
Page One. Page One.
Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at @NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.